We are going to talk movies with Mike Mayo. We have a very interesting release coming out on DVD pay-per-view today to talk about, but also we are in the midst of the 42nd Rockyversary here, and so we're going to talk about that with Mike. And by the way, if you want to see more of Mike's movie reviews, go to mike-mayo.com. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yes, 42 years. Wow. I can remember going to see the first Rocky movie. I lived in Roanoke at the time and went to see it while I was living there.
And how heralded was this? I really don't so much remember it as it, in the theaters. I was about 8, but I remember it coming on. It was HBO or something like that, and it was a really big deal at that point, and that was just, I don't know, 2 or 3 years later maybe?
Yeah, and at that point, you know, the cable TV channels, as we know them now, the pay channels, like HBO, were very new. And so for a movie to show up on there was kind of a big deal. Rocky kind of snuck in as one of the movies that nobody really expected to do really well. The big movie that year was Network. And I think still a better movie altogether in a lot of ways. But you can't deny that Rocky has been the crowd pleaser, and not any of the sequels. I mean, that they didn't make that movie, I think, with the idea of a sequel in mind. And remember that Stallone, who came up with the story and wrote the script, and then refused to let it be made without him in it, that you know, was the big, you know, game changer for him, and made him a star. But it, nobody thought this is going to be the first of a series that 42 years later would be continuing, with Creed II being released in theaters tomorrow. And that, by the way, this is kind of curious too. Remember, Creed from a couple of years ago is about Rocky training the son of Apollo Creed. Well, in Creed II, Adonis Creed, played by Michael B. Johnson, is going to fight the son of Victor Drago, who killed his dad back in Rocky IV. So this is both a sequel to Creed and to Rocky IV. Amazing, huh?
No kidding. I remember watching this, and the first one is really good, especially in that he doesn't win the fight at the end, which amazed me as a kid. But that was really what made it such a good movie.
Yeah, and also the actual boxing is such a small part of that movie. It is only the last act. Everything leads up to that. You know, there's the famous training montage, but it's really mostly about his relationship with Talia Shire, her character. Now, I would disagree with you that he doesn't win, because he states all the way through that, you know, he just wants to go the distance. And for him to go the distance, that means he wins.
Yeah, okay, a moral victory, I suppose. But hey, but by not winning, you get a sequel.
But yeah, and if you remember, right at the end,
right,
of, the, end of the fight, when he and, mm-hmm. and Apollo were kind of in a clinch, Apollo right. says something, and I can't remember who says this first and who responds, but it's there's not going to be a rematch, and the other one says, I don't want one.
No, it's Creed. He says, you're not... Yeah, he says no rematching, and he says don't want one. Yep, you're exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, and then as good as that was, then you have the rest of them, and we should give them at least one. We did get Mr. T out of the Rocky sequel, so there is some value to them. But man, they were bad, and especially the one with Drago and killing Apollo Creed. I worked at a movie theater when that came out, and I got to watch that for nothing, and I walked out after about 30 minutes, because even when you're 17, it was that bad. It was just, horrendous.
And also, you got to, just, if you look at the art on the DVD boxes, you will see that, I guess it's in Rocky II that Stallone becomes all sculpted and everything, you know, really ripped,
right.
And everything, which he isn't in the first Rocky. I mean, you know, he's just kind of a normal-looking, in-shape guy for a boxer. But by the later movies, you know, he's pumped up and ripped and everything, and the hair done. And he's such a, you know, just kind of a regular Joe in the first movie. That's what made it so good. And that's the difference between a good movie and a movie with a big movie star, I guess.
Yeah, which obviously what he became, best $300,000 he never took to sell that in 1976. And obviously the rest, has been history. And we should just mention, yeah, it got him into a different kind of movie, Rocky, than he had been doing earlier. But we will not go into that.
We will say no more about that.
And yet you've brought it up twice this morning. So Rocky IV, that was the one where he fought Drago?
Yes,
Drago.
Yes.
Yeah, no, three was Mr. T.
Three was Mr. T, yeah. But I remember, so I was however many years old when the first one came
32.
Out. 32. You know, but, and I remembered, you know, I enjoyed it. But then I took a kid I was babysitting for to see Rocky IV, all right? And he was excited to see, this would be his first of the Rocky movies. He was kind of excited, and I was thinking, okay, here we are, Rocky IV. And I remember walking out of the theater, and this kid who was probably about 12 said, man, that's
it's
Rocky?
Bad.
That's what everybody looks. Even at 12 years old, he could realize, like, man, that was terrible. And I said, really, you have to see the first two. You have to see the first two.
Except for James Brown. Really, the James Brown performance really is the height of the thing, I have to admit.
And see, as I was saying, you know, they never really, you know, it was, Rocky was the, or Rocky, I guess Rocky II, and then followed quickly by the second First Blood movie. That's what kind of got the whole sequel business started. I mean, we'd had sequels before then, but that's where the whole idea of the franchise got going, I think. Okay, well, maybe the James Bond things had done that before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Star Wars, but, too.
That was about the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But Star Wars was originally planned to be three movies, right? I mean, that was the plan from the word go, but only if the first one was successful.
Right, yeah, I think it was George Lucas's plan, certainly. I don't know about anybody else, but it worked out, obviously, well for him.
So, but these endless sequels, it takes so much to make a good one. And we'll talk later when it comes out on DVD, but Ralph Wrecks the Internet, or Breaks the Internet, that's coming out in theaters tomorrow. It's a really good sequel, and it's, what, 3-5 years after the original. They did something very different with it, and I think animation lends itself more to sequels that are really good than live-action movies, unless they're fantasies like James Bond.
Yeah, I think James Bond does have kind of its own place. And I don't know if we'll ever see a franchise that just goes on for, I mean, what are we at, coming up on 60 years of James Bond now?
It started in, what, 63, I think.
Is that right? So 55 years? Oh, gosh. That's kind of a long time. So let's talk about something else then. And coming out on DVD and pay-per-view today, big comedy hit from earlier in the summer. So let's get a clip of Crazy Rich Asians.
There's new money all over Asia. We got the Beijing billionaires, the Taiwan tycoons. But the Young family, they're old money rich. They had money when they left China in the 1800s. They came to Singapore when there was nothing but jungle and pig farmers. You know what I mean? And they built all of this. Now, they're the landlords of the most expensive city in the world. These people are so posh and snobby, they're snoshy. Yeah.
Yeah, but Nick's not like that.
Even if he isn't, I guarantee you the family is.
So posh, Mike, what, and snobby, they're
snoshy?
Snoshy. I
so,
love it. Yeah.
Mike, what did you think of Crazy Rich Asians?
I love this movie. I mean, I kind of was looking forward to it. I didn't really know much about it going in. And I really liked it. I'm pretty sure that was Awkwafina describing the Young family to Constance Wu, who is her good friend, who is engaged. She's a Chinese American girl who's becomes her boyfriend. He's played by Henry Golding. They live in New York, and he invites her to come back to China with him and for a vacation, and he's maybe going to pop the question there. And when they go there is when she realizes how insanely wealthy he is. I mean, this is, you know, as she was saying there, this is wealth beyond imagining. And the movie shows us all of that and the wretched excess that these folks go through. But at the same time, making very gentle fun of them and the difference between Chinese culture and American culture. And Michelle Yeoh virtually steals the movie as the mother-in-law to be, maybe, who is this kind of steely matriarch. And she is so good. She is going to get a Best Supporting Actress nomination. And I think she's got a very good shot at winning it because she's so good in this movie. I think the key to either supporting actor or actress is how important their role is to the film, and she is really key in this one. And That's what makes it so good, along with the sets. And it follows the whole romantic comedy formula to an absolute T. I mean, we all know what this is. Boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. And that is exactly what's going on here, spoiler alert. But it's handled in a nice, unexpected way. You really get involved with the characters, the situation, the conflicts all the way through. It is just an absolutely enjoyable movie. And I think with, I believe, 10 slots that they've got now for Best Picture, I think this is probably going to get a Best Picture nomination, too. Because as we've said about movies like The Meg that came out last week, this is the future of movie making. Asian audiences are the key now. There are so many people who are, you know, buying tickets to go to see movies in theaters there, that's really going to be the future of American movie making. They've got to be thinking of that audience while they make their movies, and this is a perfect example of it. It's the most successful movie they've ever had with an all-Asian cast, and it certainly will not be the last.
No, I can't imagine. I heard the author interviewed a couple of weeks after this came out, and this is part of what makes me want to see this now that it's out on DVD and pay-per-view. This strikes me as something that you don't have to, the size of the screen is not really a big worry, unless maybe you missed some detail with the sets. But it sounds funny, and it retells they when they are turned down at the hotel because the clerks didn't realize that they were Asian.
Yes, that's the opening scene in the movie, and it's a really good one.
Yeah, and it didn't happen quite like that, but that actually happened at a hotel in London with a family from Singapore. It was a little bit more dramatic in real life, but the retelling of it is quite something, and it my understanding, it really sets the stage for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, that's it. It is really kind of, and it's an interesting prologue because it takes place many years before the body of the film, but it really does kind of show you what the world that you're getting into, and the kind of conflicts you're going to be seeing throughout. And the other thing that I just kind of touched on, but the conflict between Constance Wu, the main character, and Michelle Yeoh, that is, I think, very skillfully handled, and something that I really, when I see the film again, and I plan to, I really want to be looking for that, the little nuances in that part of the film more than I saw them the first time.
And then I might have one last question. You mentioned someone named Awkwafina. Is that the character's name, or is that the actual person's name? Is that the actress's
name?
That
is the person's name,
okay.
And she is, she was also in Ocean's 8, and you're seeing her now in a commercial for some kind of credit card. I think she started out as a comedian. She's just very funny, a great, lively presence on screen. She's one of these young women that I think we're going to be seeing an awful lot more of. This is a bit unfair, but she reminds me of a young Whoopi Goldberg in that she's just got a very kind of chameleon sort of presence, can do a lot of things with her voice very well, and she's not conventionally attractive, but you're very interested in her whenever she's on screen.
Very good. All right, Mike, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk again next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.